Colorado clears, and this game is over. Braden Shen, slow to get up. And the Colorado Avalanche snapped the Blues win streak at 3. They beat them 4-3. The Blues made it close. Fortunately, it was the second period that kept it too far.
Chris Kerber on the call, and he's going to join us coming up in a second here. Last night, the Blues fall to the Avalanche, and it was certainly a disappointing game overall, although, Jamie, as you mentioned,
the loss was disappointing.
The third period, they turned it around.
Yeah,
they got back into it.
The ice looked a little tilted in the third. And
the second.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, that's right. The ice was a little tilted in the second, too, going the wrong way, and that ultimately was the biggest difference for the St. Louis Blues yesterday. I thought that the start of the game was just fine. Thought both teams were kind of feeling each other out a little bit. A couple of goals back and forth in the first, but then the second period, which has been troublesome for the Blues, and again, we will get into that later on in the show, probably about the 4:45 marker today. I'm going to discuss second periods and how that's affected the Blues.
Jamie Rivers, Brad Thompson, Anthony Stalter again. We'll chat with Chris Kerber here in a second. He was on the call last night with Joey Vitale right here on the Blues Radio Network 101 at ESPN. In fact, let's go to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Lane now, where we're joined by Chris Kerber. Kerbs, how you doing today?
Guys, doing awesome. How are you today?
Good. So your first reaction to last night's game. Jamie was talking about when you watch Colorado, you watch Vegas, you could tell the depth is there for those two teams. Maybe not so for the Blues, at least to that level. Do you share the same thought after watching Colorado now, what, 6-7 times?
Yeah, I think that's really accurate. I mean, especially with Sundquist and Thomas out of the lineup, those two guys back in, and I think it looks probably a little bit differently. Even a Carl Gunnarsson, to be honest with you, I mentioned that last night on the postgame show. I don't think you can underestimate kind of the loss of his steadiness of 15, 17 minutes a game and his experience of 700-plus games in the league. So I look at it that way, and you know, but at the same time, I think the other difference is honest to goodness is just one word. It's finish. I mean, if the Blues put in just one or two of those unbelievable chances that they had, you're talking a tie game, you're talking overtime, or you're maybe even talking about winning the game. You know, so my initial reaction kind of as the game is going on is a little frustration, right? Then after the game, you're looking, okay, you know, just for some reason, I don't know what happened in that second period and why we came out so flat. And then the next day, I'm watching part of that game again and looking at it, and you're going, holy cow, put one or two of those chances in, and this game's got a totally different feel to it. So part of it might just be the lack of pure finishing that the team has.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Kerbs. I think that finishing certainly is an issue, but also passing up the opportunity to finish. I think that there were some times last night that, you know, the Blues had great opportunity to at least put them themselves in a position to score, but chose to defer or make a pass instead. And I think Coach Berube would like to see some guys just put that puck in the net.
Listen, Kyle Clifford and Zach Sanford going down on a 2-on-1 trying to beat Devan Dubnyk, right? Shoot the puck on him. I mean, Devan has had a rough year. He hasn't been very good. And he's net. And the Blues have been really good at times against him, whether he's been in Edmonton. I mean, Devan Dubnyk had his first career start against the St. Louis Blues, and the Blues lit him up for 6 or 7 in that game. And then for the next, like, 4 times they played him, they lit him up for another 5 every time. I mean, they've had this guy's number. And you're right. You see Kyle Clifford and Zach Sanford come in on a 2-on-1, and Clifford doesn't shoot. He passes that back to Sanford, and there's no shot on net. Then on the other end of the ice, there was another sequence that, you know, created a 2-on-1, and it's one extra pass by, I think it was Sammy Blais or something like that. And that one didn't go. And you're like, holy cow, just shoot the puck. When you get that puck at the hash marks or closer, you've got to fire it. You know, and you're right. So put that on top of the finishing. And that's the tease of this season right now for the St. Louis Blues. That's the part that says, oh, my gosh, convert on one or two of those. And you're talking about a totally different story here. The question is can they or will they, and will it be in enough time to save their season from a playoff standpoint? And I guess that's the great unknown. We just have to wait and find out.
Kerb's a guy that's not afraid to fire it, picked up goals 12 and 13 in the third period is Mike Hoffman. What should the expectations be for Mike Hoffman? I know that, like, the fit has been weird this year. There have been some back and forth. He was the healthy scratch, but dude has been in fuego lately.
They should be what they, I think, should have been and have been, to be honest with you, all season long. Just a good, solid 60-minute effort. It's the way he played away from the puck last night a couple of times. He was the first guy back helping break up a play defensively when a defenseman jumped in. And every Blues forward has to be aware of that if the defense are going to be active. And I think it's that lack of energy or effort at times that has put him on the bench with Craig Berube. Having said that, he's a shooter. He's not a playmaker. Mike Hoffman is not the guy that's going to go dig the puck out of the corner, cut it to the left, cut it to the right, shield it from a guy until the next wave comes in to pass it. He's the guy that's trying to find the open ice. You find him, and he's going to beat just about any goalie in the league with that shot on a regular basis. And so, to me, what we've seen these last couple games is just that, is let Mike Hoffman be Mike Hoffman. Find him on the ice, and he's probably going to reward you. The other thing we're seeing, and which is really kind of it, and you saw some great communication on before a faceoff on the power play last night. He and Vince Dunn have really started to develop some chemistry, and that's really kind of important here, because it's one thing to have a shooter, but Vince Dunn is starting to find out exactly where he needs to put that puck and how he needs to put that puck for Mike to shoot it, and that's been really helpful.
Yeah, that can help out a guy an awful lot if when you're Vince Dunn and you figure out the combination over to Mike Hoffman and he's burying it for you. Certainly improves your stats and helps the team score goals. But the one thing I wanted to highlight here or talk about anyways, Curb, is the second periods for the Blues. And I know Coach Berube after the game had said, look, at the last five or six games, our second periods have been better. Now that, to me, though, tells me that before that, they haven't been great. And last night, unfortunately, the second period was the difference maker. What are you seeing out there that is the difference in the Blues game, that they're the way they're playing in the second period right now? Because I'm sure it's frustrating for the coaching staff, the players, and all the fans watching, too.
I think, Jamie, to me, I wonder, there's a couple of things. I think at times we make some real sloppy or somewhat lazy line changes. And in the second period, you almost can't make up for those errors, right? Because with the bench on the other side of the offensive red line, if your line changes aren't sharp and ready to go, the other team can break out, and then it's all a totally different beast there, right? So I really think that a big part of those second periods is we need to be sharper at the bench, and I know as hard as it is at the end of a shift, especially if you get caught out there long, to get those legs burning to get there in time. But I think line changes, and that's what cost the Blues on one of the goals. That Colorado jumped out, and it's the one time where those plus-minus stats are not really good. Ryan O'Reilly and David Perron ended up on the ice, but it was because of a staggered line change that the coverage in the defensive zone was so bad, right? And so, to me, that's part of it. And then, I don't know, maybe it's just attitude. It's like, they didn't come out with that same fire in the belly that they needed to, and thinking, okay, we've tied this game, we should be better off. And we're not deep enough nor good enough to be able to take the foot off the gas. Those are two things, I think, in the second period. The line changes are kind of a big one. We've just too many line changes where, a guy just doesn't skate that extra one or two strides to get there hard enough, and it puts his own teammate coming on the ice in a bit of a pickle.
Yeah, line changes are definitely important. It's overlooked a lot of times by the guys, but coaches lose their minds at bad line changes, Curbs. Look, the Avalanche, the Blues have got them three more times here following the game against the Coyotes. They've had some good outings against this team. They've been very close games, and whether they've had some moments that have been self-inflicted and lost a game just because of something, maybe a bad second period, maybe a bad late goal, whatever it is, is it reassuring for this Blues team to know, well, two things. One, they're playing the Avalanche three more times, and they're right there with them. And if they put together a true 60-minute effort, that they can play with that team.
Man, going into last night's game, 5-on-5, the goals for and goals against in the first four games were 6-6. I mean, put that into perspective there. So it just shows you, one, the Blues penalty killing against Colorado's power play has been just flat out embarrassing. There's no way to hide that, right? And there's no way to sugarcoat how bad it's been. Okay, but having said that, 5-on-5 has been really good. And after last night's, game, it's still close. I think it's like a one goal differential now. So to me, they've done this with Las Vegas pretty well too. Keep things 5-on-5. And that's a really big key if you can keep things 5-on-5 in my book. So yeah, I would hope that that's encouraging to him, Jamie. And it also though does to the point that Anthony asked at the beginning. And so you had the first game you beat them 4-1, then they dominated you 8-0. Every other game has been a one goal game, and you've come out on the losing end of those one goal games. Sometimes that's the difference in the depth that we were just talking about, that extra player to get the thing done. You know, you need everybody going at the right time. You know, whether Jordan Binnington wasn't set and ready for that first shot from Belmar on the first goal, giving up the first goal seems to be huge for this team right now from a psyche standpoint. They battled back, they tied it, looked like they should have gone ahead. The quick whistle from the referee didn't help, right? But then you've just got to, they've got to get everybody going. Jake Walman had tough couple minus twos and then took the penalty. So he was sort of involved in all three goals to a degree. Like at some point, if they get everybody going, I like your chances. Actually, this is not all that bad of a matchup for the St. Louis Blues, to be honest with you.
Curbs, great stuff. As always, have a great weekend. We'll be listening to the calls and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, guys, have a terrific weekend. Talk to you soon.